That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And we welcome you to the Radio Ranch, and we say good morning to you, the remnant out there, and good morning to the Wranglers here. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
Glad to have you with us this morning. Glad you're feeling at least a little bit better. And good morning, Ramrod.
Good morning.
And we do welcome you, the remnant, out there to a cold. Kyle said it was 11 below zero this morning when he came in from town. And ooh, it's a brisk morning out here. But we got brought two cups of coffee over to the Radio Ranch this morning. Kyle's got his big jumbo mug. And so we got coffee.
Ain't going to stay warm for long.
Well, it's all right. It's at least above freezing here in the office, and so that'll sure work. Well, John, would you open us up in prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and we just ask for your guidance and direction regarding this program for your people, Lord. Our pastor and his infinite wisdom thought to bring the men together and talk about current events and biblical events, and Lord, wherever this goes is up to you. We just pray for an anointing to be upon each and every one of us. Pray for your remnant out there that's listening, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would work through them, and that if there's something you want said to your people, let it be said. We say, come, Lord Jesus, and be our guest. Send your angels to be here with us. Ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And we'll put the phone number out in a little bit, open the phone lines up as we get into this morning a little bit. But we do say welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here at the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, going out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on WTWW Shortwave, on the internet websites, scriptures4america.org, and also the network website, sfawbn.com, and then also up on free-to-air satellite, audio satellite. So whichever way you're tuning in with us, we thank you, and we'll get started. Kyle's got his Bible opened over here to Romans. Looks like he wants to share something out of Romans.
Not necessarily, but I was thinking about, I heard on the radio the other day that someplace in, I think it was in Cheyenne, Wyoming, they were trying to outlaw prayer at a rodeo, and at least as of the moment, whatever morning that was I was listening to it, the people from the rodeo were saying they weren't going to stop praying in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thought that was a good thing because it shows there's a little bit of Spirit of God still working in the land. Because that's basically what it all boils down to, the gun thing, the Ten Commandments being removed here, and the prayers being... It all comes down to no Spirit. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, what? There is liberty, you know. And it was just good to hear that, you know, the ADL was coming against them, and it's always the ADL, ain't it? But anyway,
and the Freedom from Religion Foundation, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure they had part. It's all one big conspiracy party against Jesus Christ. But I was glad to hear that they were saying they were going to keep praying that prayer that they'd prayed for years. You know, they read a little bit of it over the air, and
praise God, they're saying no.
Yeah, you know, so there's a little bit of Spirit left. You know, we need to get more.
Amen.
Back through the land.
I was reading, and I hadn't seen this before, and you guys probably have, but in Revelation 21:8, okay, it says, "He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." That's verse 7. Then verse 8 says, "But for the cowardly, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and immoral persons, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." The cowardly. What does that mean? That means those that will, that aren't saying no.
Yeah, I think the King James says fearful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I never saw the word cowardly, I don't think, before. But.
Yeah, and that's, you know, there's a lot of cowards in the land, that's for sure. And, you know, it started out, you know, I don't know where it started out, but I remember years ago the homosexual, you know, all of a sudden everybody was afraid to say faggot anymore. They started, you know, even the ones that were against it, they started whispering it because they didn't want somebody to hear it, you know, and it is cowardly. It's, you know, they're fearing the wrong person. God, yeah.
Yeah, small g,
yeah.
But
amen.
Right. They are. They are.
I don't know if you guys saw, but apparently there's a movement now to try to remove the Bible from Obama's inauguration. You see that?
Yeah, but see, Obama's so holy, he's using two Bibles, John.
I know.
Can you even believe that? Man, that just...
and Michelle's going to be holding one of them.
Yeah. Well, one of them's her old family Bible. Or
MLK or something.
Yeah, Martin Luther King's, and then one that Lincoln used or something like that.
Yeah.
Man, that just... I mean, how holy can you get using two Bibles? Man.
Want to make sure that deception comes across strong. But I heard apparently they had scheduled this Pastor Louis Giglio to do the benediction. And they found out that 20 years ago he actually said that homosexuality is a sin, and if you practice it, you're going to hell. So that's not diverse enough for him. So now they're looking for someone who reflects all of America's values. And
they'll get some black Jewish...
woman.
Yeah, dyke woman up there to say, may the universe bless you, or something like that.
Yeah.
And that'll be about it. That'll be about enough for them.
If you think about it, it's good. It's showing more and more that, you know, that God's hastening the day. It's coming. Coming quick. Revelations is being fulfilled before our eyes.
Yes. Praise the Lord for that.
Yep.
Well, Jason, we've sure had you in our prayers. We know that you've been fighting that that good fight of faith, but fighting that crud that kind of seemed to hit all of us. And we're sure glad to have you with us this morning. Appreciate you continuing on and doing that. How are things down there?
Things are good here.
Good.
Cold, huh? Yeah, it is.
Yeah, the boy, this weather, it's, I don't know. You know, it's wintertime in Wyoming. What do you expect, right? I think that's what the boss would say. I think that's what he would have said, is it's that time of the year. And
he'd say toughen up.
That's right. That's right. So.
Well, something we touched on Wednesday in prayer meeting. I think one of somebody called in about it, but National Cathedral to perform same-sex weddings says the 100-year-old Synagogue of Satan said Wednesday it would begin hosting such nuptials. Longtime same-sex marriage advocate Reverend Gary Hall took over as the cathedral's dean in October. And, of course, the Episcopal Bishop of Washington, Reverend Marion Edgar Booty, or whatever, blesses the sanctification or whatever. So, just another example of the Synagogue of Satan.
Yeah.
That's all you got to say.
Well, that was the coffee break. That was. And, you know, as Kyle mentioned, the gun control seems to be one of the biggest things in the news today. But it I like what Kyle, I like what you said there. It really comes down to who are you going to fear? Who are you going to trust and obey? And it's really, who are you going to believe? We hear so much in the Bible about, oh, believe, just believe. But if you believe, you'll trust and obey and rely on and follow the example of. And, you know, those are, unfortunately, our people today believe the ungodly government, this freedom from religion and all this other. That when they say, "Oh, well, you can't pray in the name of Jesus Christ." Well, guess what, folks? If that's who you're going to believe, if that's who you're going to trust in, if that's who you're going to rely on, if that's who you're going to go along with, then
choose ye this day who you shall serve.
Yeah.
If God be God, serve God, and if Baal be God, serve Baal.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm glad to hear so many people standing up for their gun rights, or, you know, I don't even like putting it as gun rights, because I think, you know, when you get into rights and all that kind of stuff, you're kind of off a little bit. But I am glad to hear people standing up for wanting to keep their guns, but it makes you just wonder why it took them this long to get upset enough to stand up. You know, why is that their line in the sand? Why wasn't the name of Jesus Christ being perverted and being outlawed? And I mean, it just makes you wonder, you know, I mean, why this? You know, I mean, I understand wanting to have a gun, so, I mean, don't get me wrong, but I don't understand why this is, I mean, and I'm sure it's just God's timing, God working it out the way he wants to, but it still makes me kind of scratch my head and think, you know, you didn't have a problem with them taking prayer out of schools, and you didn't have a problem with all these abortion clinics, and you don't have a problem with homosexuality, the marriages that's going on, being legalized in 10 states, and, you know, I mean, and now, you know, there's the big thing about guns, I mean, which is great, but at the same time, it just, you know.
Well, it's the clergy, right, that we have in the land. What determines the spiritual condition of the people? The spiritual leaders.
Yeah.
And you look at what we've had in the land for spiritual leaders, and, you know, there's a reason that there's no men in churches. Who's there to make a stand?
Amen.
It's true.
Yep. I was talking to a man this week that goes to a Missouri Synod Lutheran church, which typically has been pretty strong against homosexuality. I mean, a lot of the, some of the Lutheran churches have adopted it, but the Missouri Synod seemed to still stay pretty strong against it. And he told me that his church, the elders and elderettes, ran off the pastor because the pastor wasn't backing down on the homosexuality issues. So that's coming soon to a church near you.
Yeah, and as Jeremiah 5, what is it, 5:21 or 31 or something, and my people love to have it so, you know, it is, it's that chain of effect that Jason was talking about, you know, it's, that's what it all boils down to.
Yeah.
Yep. That's quite a prophetic chart there, too, when you look at that. Different conditions. I wish I could remember it. Never can, but you got that whole chart there, Jason?
No.
Oh, okay. Anyways, we've seen it.
Yeah, it comes down to the battle between right and wrong, the battle between light and darkness, between truth and the lie. And back in 1 John, in 2:22, it says, "Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ?" And we have to remember that these freedom from religion fanatics and these that whether it's judges that pass these rulings or you know the sheriff that backs them up, that they deny that Jesus is the Christ, they are the liar. It goes on to say, this is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Because when they deny the Son, when they take his name out, oh, you can pray to God, you know, but you can't pray to Jesus Christ. Well, they deny the Father according to the Word. And we just have to remember that they are turning completely away. The remnant needs to hear that. To understand that for what it is.
Anyway, the chart, I just jotted it down here. From the spiritual condition of the people affects the religious leaders of the people, which in effect the political leaders of the people, which then affects the economical situation of the people, which affects the social, you know, society. You know, and it all starts with the people, you know, so nobody can point their finger at somebody else and say they're to blame, because all these perverts we have in the pulpits today, it's because somebody sat in the pews, somebody the sat on that bench, yeah, and didn't give a darn.
Yeah,
that's true. Thanks, Kyle.
Well, guys, let's open up the phone lines. Let me get the buttons pushed here. 307-745-5913 if you want to call in and make a comment here on Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. You know, the first Galatians 1, Paul writing, of course, to the churches at Galatia. He says in verse 6, he says, "I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ, for a different gospel." Which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed." And you know, that's what they're doing in that church you were talking about, John. They bring up a different gospel. Oh, well, now God loves that sinner. Now that which used to be an abomination to God, now it's okay. You know, the Bible says God has not changed. He is the same
Exactly. Today
as he was when Jesus was born. And he is the same then as he was way back there in Genesis 1:1 in the beginning. He has not changed. If it was wrong then, it's wrong now. And it was wrong then. This homosexuality that is rampant in the land. It is an abomination to God. That hasn't changed. And just because it seems to be in certain circles socially acceptable, it's still wrong.
Amen.
Over in 2 Peter, I think it ties into it, 2 Peter 2, down starting about 9, it says, "The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge the flesh in its corrupt desires and despise authority. Daring self-willed, they do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties." And then in verse 12 it says, "But these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed. Suffering wrong is the wages of doing wrong. Stains and blemishes." And we see that stain, we see that blemish coming from many of the pulpits. You read about it, you hear about it.
You know, it used to be nobody had to be told, you know, that anything about racism, you know, because everybody knew that there's a difference between races. It was, you know, but now, you know, now in the church world, I mean, actually the young people growing up in church world, they actually think racism is a sin because they've heard it so many times.
Yep.
You know, and nobody used to tell people that about the Antichrist Jews. They didn't have to. I mean, it was known in society. That's why they came up with terms like, "Well, he Jewed me down." I mean, it was known through society that there was a certain sect of people that had certain traits. You know, like Cretan. I mean, I remember that word when I was young. Somebody would do something wrong or lie or something, and somebody said, "Well, he's just a Cretan." Well, that comes from the Bible, you know, because people, it was still on people's hearts all the time that, you know,
right.
They didn't know where these terms came from, you know, a lot of them. But when you get right down to it, they all come from the knowledge of the gospel, the doctrines of Jesus Christ and the law. That's where they all come from, you know, and now it's, the society is so far removed from the Word of God that people can teach that racism is a sin, and generations now have grown up and they actually believe it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the same way it is with the homosexuality thing. You know, I mean, it's not quite to the, it hasn't been bashed into their heads as much as the racism was for a while. You know, but it's just about there. You know, to where it's going to be a sin because you think bad of somebody who does a horrible, perverted thing, you know. I mean, and it's just sickening when you stop to think about it. How the world, the generations of children who are now young adults grow up thinking one thing when it's completely the opposite. You know? And there's only one way to get that back. What is it?
Well,
it's the Spirit of God. That's the only way to get it back. We can't say it enough. You have to be born again. You have to walk by the Spirit. You have to get the Spirit, and that Spirit will lead you into truth. You know, and then you'll grow in the grace and the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And these things, the law will be activated. You know, I think all Israelites have a little gene in them. You know, a little law gene. And when they get that Spirit, it kind of activates it. You know, I mean, some have it a little bigger than others before they get the Spirit. But then when that Spirit gets in you, it's activated. And all of a sudden, in your mind, in your heart, you start seeing things you never seen before, you know,
yeah,
at a different level, you know. And basically, that's how this country's got to get it back, you know. And then people will start walking in the Spirit, and they might have a rifle on their side while they're walking in the Spirit, because there's a lot of bad people out here, you know what I mean. And even though that's not where the battle's won, there's still a battle there, you know. I still don't want to get mugged and knocked down when I'm walking down the street, or want wife and children, you know, want to see them get mugged and while they're walking down the street, which,
right,
you know. And it kind of comes back to what John was saying there in Revelations 21. We need to stop being cowards, you know. And that comes by the Spirit also, because Peter Peter. Everybody knows Peter was a man of man. You know what I mean? He was the manly man of the 12 apostles when you start reading about it. You know what I mean? He was the guy. But before he got that spirit on the day of Pentecost, even him lived cowardly. You know, I don't know the man. I'm not one of them. You know, I mean, he denied Jesus Christ 3 times because...
of fear.
Fear.
Because of fear. Yeah, he did. He did. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Am I on the air?
Yes, good morning.
Oh, hi. This is Tim, the truck driver.
Good morning, Tim.
Hey, good morning, Richard. John hit on this thing with the elderettes manipulating the elders to get rid of the reasonable preacher. And it makes my blood boil. But it goes back to the Garden of Eden. And it's so fundamental, and it's the reason, you know, that we're in the kind of condition we're in as a race. And you know, we kind of get a grip on this, and I'm working on it with prayer, because I think the answers are in the Scripture and in the inspiration from the Holy Spirit as to what kind of petition we need to make to Jesus in order to overthrow this feminine hierarchy that has brought us into this state of near destruction. You know,
Jezebel spirit, yeah.
Right.
Good job bringing that up, John. That is something that Pastor Peters was the only man who had enough stones to overcome that obstacle. The only one in the whole country that took that issue on. And
amen. And that's when I talked to that man too. I said, "Oh, you mean the Jezebel spirit?" And he didn't know what I was talking about. And I go, "Really?"
It's amazing, you know. That's the way sin works. It's so blinding, you know. You can't see it, you know. But it's, you know. But you're getting hit in the head with a baseball bat, and you don't even know it, you know.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm you know, Pastor Peters is the only man in the whole country. The only preacher that I know of that actually took that on, and it's the most fundamental thing. Because if you don't take that on, we're nowhere. We'll never get over it. You know, we'll never get on top of this.
Amen.
Yep. Anyway, and he took it on in the family too, in order in the home, and that wasn't a popular series. But when people, if you can break that Jezebel spirit and you can see the truth about the order in the home, that's the reason our homes are destroyed right now. It's because there isn't the proper order.
Right. Well, Tim, thanks so much for the call. You be safe out there.
Thanks, Tim.
All right.
Thank you. You know it. It is. We've got a couple callers. We'll get right to them. It is that Jezebel spirit. And I think one of the reasons we have it so rampant is because the men are in rebellion. We talk so much about the women being in rebellion, and they are. There's no doubt about it. But it's because there's a void there, because the men are not in submission to Christ.
Back to the cause and effect.
Cause and effect. Absolutely. Let's see if we can get some of these callers in. No, let's try that one. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, Wranglers.
Good morning.
This is Tom calling from Missouri. I've never called you guys before. I've been listening since about March.
Well, thanks for calling, Tom.
And I just want to let you guys know that I accepted Christ when I was a young man, baptized for remission of sins, and I spent 20 years trying to find some truth in the churches, and I could never find it. And I was so overjoyed when I found you were replaying Pastor Peter's messages and all the live shows that you do along, you know, with the Radio Ranch Wranglers and everybody else out there, and I really appreciate it. But I had a question maybe about the two Bibles that the Obama Nation is going to use. The symbolism of MLK and Lincoln, and is he telegraphing what he wants to do or where he's trying to take the country, or is he casting spells, or what do you think?
Kyle's over here shaking his head, saying,
"Yeah, that's what I get out of it." You know, I mean, everything's done for a reason. You know, so just to think there's, you know, everything's just, you know, oh, let's do this, and there's nothing fought out, I don't believe it. You know, I think there's a lot of things those two things represent, you know, and it we better be aware of them.
Yeah.
Yep. Part of it is,
you know, MLK
part of it is
the race riots. So, you know, part of that stuff.
Part of it is too that in the first inauguration, I believe he used two Bibles also. And either that or Michelle was holding on to the Bible. Well, that's the first time in history that the First Lady has been involved with that ceremony and with the Bible too, and maybe that goes back to the Jezebel spirit too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that could be it. Well, I appreciate
some sort of authority of women or something.
All right,
y'all have a good morning.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. You know, that's encouraging.
Yeah, it is.
Sure is.
You know, 20 years in the church looking for truth and find it on the shortwave or on the internet. How about that? Praise the Lord. We'll stay with the phone lines. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
This is me.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Vance over in Little Africa, St. Louis. How you guys doing this morning?
Good morning, Vance.
Good, how are you?
Oh, real good. I think you guys are doing a great job, just to start with that. And had a couple comments about the two Bibles. You know, what was the end result of Lincoln? And what was the end result of MLK?
It's true.
And what was the other thing I was going to say? Oh, I think Obama is the guy that Daniel was talking about in 12. I think it was 12. But that's just, you know, it's my personal belief. I just, you know, it kind of sounds like the one that might be taken out without hands.
You're not alone in thinking that.
Yeah, we've been talking about that quite a bit lately.
Yeah, he fits it to a T. He really does.
Yep. Well, I think what it really does, I think he represents Esau Edom to a T. You know, and Esau Edom, just like the body of Christ has many members, the body of the Antichrist has many members, but this one man represents that body of Antichrist. You know, I mean, so that, you know, that's something to look at.
The abomination of desolation.
Yep.
Exactly. Well, you think about it, when our pastor revealed to us quite some time ago the man of lawlessness, what was revealed was Esau, Edom, and the Assyrian. And but that's a group of people, a nation. Could this be, you know, could Obama be the man of lawlessness, you know? Obviously, he's from Esau, Edom. But that's the thought that I've been thinking about lately. You know, is he the abomination of desolation?
Wow.
We'll see.
Well, just, you know, what we've been kind of keeping in our mind and trying to, you know, I try to praise it, you know, that they don't have us surrounded, guys. We got them surrounded.
Amen.
Just keep it up. And Jesus bless you guys.
Thank you.
You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's that old, we can shoot in any direction and hit them, huh?
That's right.
Yep. We got them right where we want them, boys.
They can't get away this time. Amen. Amen. But, you know, there is quite a bit of the symbology there of using in the callers. You can tell it's on the callers' minds of those two Bibles that he's using. You know, the simple, I think, will look that follow him and will think him holy and blessed of God for, oh, you know, he's using two Bibles. But, yeah, we know that the things that they do are not always what they seem. And like was mentioned, they don't do things. There's no such thing as coincidence. They don't just pull this off the shelf and use it. And the callers brought up good points. You know, what was the end result of Abraham Lincoln? You know, the one big thing was the rise of the federal government. You know, it greatly grew out of Lincoln and the war between the states. And Lincoln brought that upon, you know, the brother killing brother, the civil war, as they call it. There was nothing civil about it. And when you come from the South, you hear them describe that as the war of Northern aggression.
Yeah.
And that's
here's, this is
interesting point, too. It kind of changes the subject, but that's kind of me, you know that. But anyways, I'm looking at a deal here where President Roosevelt, you know, ordered the Americans to surrender any gold that they held to the government. Now, this was through an executive order. Does that sound familiar? So under executive order of the president issued April 5th, 1933, all persons are required to deliver on or before May 1st, 1933, all gold coin, gold bullion, and gold certificates now owned by them to a Federal Reserve Bank branch or agency or to any member bank of the Federal Reserve System. So we sit here and we say that, well, if they make guns illegal and they, you know, that and they require you to turn them in, that we wouldn't turn them in. Well, it looks to me like it's happened in the past here. People were dumb enough to turn all their gold in. Get the correlation? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's like we've heard lately. When that happens, you just have to put your tongue on the top of your mouth and say, no.
Yeah.
Well, John, the phone lines are lighting up like a Christmas tree. So okay. How about if we go back to that?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Is this my phone?
This is. Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
Hey, this is Edie from North Carolina. I'm broadcasting live to you from the very pits of hell. But my little contribution to this stuff is I put signs out by the road by my house. And I used some of Pastor Peter's teachings to, you know, sort of pique people's interest. Mm-hmm. And then I give scripture that they can look stuff up. And since the interest of the week seems to be guns, I put out a statement. Jesus wants you armed. And I gave three verses as to why Jesus wants you armed. And the second part is Satan does not. And I gave three verses for that.
Great.
Way to go, Edie. That's awesome.
And why Jesus wants you armed is Matthew 10:34, where he says, you know, I came not to bring peace but a sword. And the second one's Luke 22:36. I don't remember what it is, but I had it all memorized. But the third one for that is Ephesians 6:10-18. That's the gospel armor of God.
Yes.
And the reason Satan does not want you armed is Revelation 13:4. Like, you know, who's able to make war with them? Well, nobody can if they don't have their, you know, weapons, their proper weapons. Revelation 17:14 and Revelation 19:11. And this is my contribution, and it ain't been easy because I've had, you know, you said the forces of hell shall not prevail. Well, I've had some of that coming against me. But I also have people walking up to me on the side when they see me out and, you know, telling me off to the side. You know, I appreciate that. They're learning, people are learning stuff. And I just wanted to give encouragement to everybody that it is scary when you stand up. But it's worth it.
Well, Edie, thank you so much for coming in and calling in and telling us that. And
greater is he that is for us than those that are against us.
Amen.
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 Amen. Well, I hope you guys have a blessed day, and Jesus is coming.
Amen. You do the same. Keep the faith. Thank you.
Thank you, Edie.
Bye-bye.
Good evening. And let's stay with the phone lines. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello, this is Tom in Montana. How are you today?
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Real good, real good. Still here,
man.
Thank you for all your prayers. Hey, a truckload of Bibles would not make that man godly. I don't care how many he tore off.
Amen.
Yeah.
What a farce.
Yeah, they make their plans, their schemes, and they mean it for one thing, but his remnant that have eyes to see, they see it for what it is. And I think that ties
and
back.
And the Lord laughs.
And the Lord laughs. It ties back what Kyle said earlier about, you know, people's eyes are starting to open up. They're they're seeing that, you know, they read one thing in the news or see it on the news, but they're starting to believe the opposite. And that's a good thing. And I think a lot of people would agree with you, Tom, that, yeah, a truckload of Bibles wouldn't do him any good.
You men have a good day, and thank you for all your prayers this week.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Yep.
Well, it's kind of interesting because when Obama, when he was getting inaugurated the first time, 4 years ago, he was using the Lincoln Bible. But he didn't say the oath properly, so they had to go back a day later and re-swear him in. When they did that, he did not use a Bible at all. So as of now, he hasn't been sworn in on a Bible. And they're actually using three Bibles. They're using the Robinson Family Bible on Sunday and having a swearing in. And then on Monday, they're having another swearing in. And that's when they're going to use the Lincoln Bible and the Martin Luther Kuhn Bible.
What's the Robinson Family Bible?
That's his wife's family.
Swiss Family Robinson. Did you ever see that movie?
Yeah,
I didn't realize they had a Bible.
That's Obama's family.
They dug one out of the woodpile somewhere.
Yeah, that's I'm
oh,
not
Michelle's
Obama's
family.
Michelle's family. Yeah, it's there. It's like her family Bible or whatever. So, well, let's go back to the phone line. See if we still have a caller here. Caller, thanks for calling in and thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, I guess this is me then. This is Mike in Virginia, out in the Great Dismal Swamp. And I got a couple of quick points to make, if you don't mind.
Sure.
The first one is the difference between a Caucasian man and a white man. A white man has rights, and a Caucasian man has responsibilities. And I think that's one of the biggest problems in our society, is men don't want to assume their responsibilities, and they're now joining the masses that have rights. And our adversary subsidizes irresponsibility, and the irresponsible in this country cannot breed fast enough, so they're bringing them in by the hordes, generally out of South America or Mexico.
They're sure trying to breed enough, but you're right. You're right. It's not fast enough for them, and they bring them in.
It's not. And it's a curse on our land, and where I work, it's really gotten pathetic. I'm past 50 years old, and everybody I work with, even near my age group, is on medication. And medication is pharmakia, and I'm pretty sure you gentlemen understand what that is. It's witchcraft straight out.
Oh, yeah.
And they're building these drug dealers everywhere now. We call them pharmacies, but they're nothing but legalized drug dealers who pay taxes, you know, the Walgreens, the CVSs. And I think that's just a direct reflection of men not wanting to be men. I can hardly get a straight answer anymore when I address a controversial subject, and it's generally just plain truth. I mean, when you just ask a straight question, get a yes or no, you'll get a two-minute diatribe of beating around the bush of how they feel about it. And I'll still sit here and go, but is it yes or no? And the best reception I'm getting now for truth is young people. Young people are starving for leadership. And I'll stand up in a grocery store or a restaurant, and I'll start explaining stuff to people, whether it's on health issues, because I'm well aware of that. And I'll explain the difference between currency and money and why they're taxed and how much of their money's taken in taxes. And these people are working hard with no direction and no leadership, because the men have abdicated to the women and the children rule the homes. And you can see the reflection on people. Now, I'll tell you, I was in Walmart not long ago. I shopped at Chinese outlet because I don't have a choice. Most of the independents are gone. But I know I walked through a store with 1,000 people, and the only people I saw with a smile on their face were little children. And I looked around and said, isn't it so? Look at them. They're slaves, the wage slaves now. Over half their money's taken in taxes, and they won't even listen to the truth. And when they do, I swear it goes through one ear and out the other, just like my parents used to tell me when I was little. And you know, I ride around with my motorcycle, and I have a cross on my helmet. And people ask me what that is. I tell them it's the T for truth. And when you pursue the truth, you'll end up at the foot of the cross, whether that's where you we're hidden or not doesn't matter. And once you learn that truth, then you'll start to see the world in a whole different way. And, you know, but the common denominator is taxes, because everybody's being overtaxed. So once you can crack that, they'll start to listen to you about other things. And young people out here now are starving for the truth. And you know, until men, and women too, don't get me wrong, they have their place and their responsibility.
Sure.
And when you're doing your responsibility, you get the privilege of choice. And it's just like when you go work for a paycheck, you're working for a choice. Because when you get your paycheck, your money, we know it's currency, but it's called money, you now have choices. So when you assume your responsibilities, with that comes choices. And that's the way God's made it. And when we stand up and become men again, we have more choices. And the choice is whether you're going to stand for truth. And you're going. And when I mean stand, you stand alone and amongst a group of people. And I've heard Richard say it, some of our biggest adversaries are our friends and family. Not that they necessarily want to be, but I don't know about y'all, but I can walk into a room full of, I call them feminazi main battle tanks, you know, like Pastor Peter described, about 5 feet tall, 4 feet wide with a butch haircut. I ain't even got to say anything. I walk into a room and they'll just, man, they'll zero right in on you. And I'm old enough where it doesn't bother me. You know, I've been around long enough that I just put truth out there and watch them dance. Watch how uncomfortable the truth makes them. It's like this, what's called the president. He's not my president. He's not legally elected. He's not a Caucasian. He can take his oath on top of a stack of newspapers for all I care. You know, and the whole herd of Kazarian wannabes around him and his puppet masters, they're nothing but our adversaries. And our people love us, though, because they want a government check when it comes down to. And I work with a lot of black folks. And, you know, there's a big difference between blacks and niggers. And the blacks can't stand the niggers worse than we can. And there's a lot of black folks that don't like the president, don't like his whole situation, because they know they're just sucking their money off of them, too. They right. work just as hard as me and you, and they're going under just as fast as me and you. So, you know, we're not in this alone, but we do have our place in this country at one time. And, you know, what I like to point out to people is, you know what all our founding fathers had in common? And, you know, you do get the differences on the religions and all. No, they were all Caucasians. If you don't believe me, go look at a portrait of it. And I leave it there. After that, you know, it's up to the person, individual, whether truth is important in their life. And quickly, that's the dividing line. Anyway, I didn't mean to get off in time so much time. I do appreciate y'all's show, and I'll try to catch it when I can. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in and sharing that with everybody. Amen.
Y'all have a good morning. You bye-bye.
That's some good points.
Absolutely. A lot of good points. I mean, the first point, I mean, we have responsibilities, not rights. I mean, that right thing is ridiculous. We have no rights. You know, I mean, our responsibility is to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you know.
Yep.
And, you know, you got all these people that, you know, they want all these rights and they want, you know, we are so lucky. So we should be so thankful that God sent his only begotten son, you know. That give us an opportunity to be a good servant. You know, and we need to take that role, you know, and quit worrying about our rights and start doing our responsibility, you know, and then our children will get things that they ain't going to get, you know.
Amen. Amen. Let's stay back with the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. This is George from Ava, Illinois.
Well, good morning, George. How are you, sir?
Pretty good, I guess. Just drinking some coffee and eating some breakfast with my wife. So
Sounds like a good morning.
Sounds like a good morning in Ava, Missouri.
Start to a good morning.
Ava, Illinois.
Illinois, I'm sorry. Ava, Illinois.
It's all right.
There's also an Ava, Missouri, but I recognize you now.
Yeah. I was just wanting to call in and kind of confess some things. I had called back about 5 or 6 months ago and talked to Kyle on one of his shows, and I ended up programming your guys' number in my phone thinking I'd be calling quite a bit after that. And well, this is the first time I've done since I programmed in my phone, and I'm kind of hanging my hat in shame for that. But I had got your guys' DVD from the Solemn Assembly and sat down with my wife and listened to that. which was a great DVD, but through the whole time I was sitting there watching it, again, I was hanging my head in shame because I was feeling like I should have been there, and I felt like Christ was calling me and telling me that it's something, a step that I should have made and done, and I really just have no excuses for it because God made it fine for me to be able to go if I wanted to. I've been working, everything's been going pretty good. It's just my own stupidity and my own not making the steps to do something like that. And I hope there's other people out there that, if they're in my same situation, that haven't really heard the call, or heard the call and not really making any steps forward to do something, I hope they use my testimony, I guess, if you will, as something to kind of start getting into the fight and whatever it is that we're supposed to be doing, and kind of keeping with it and staying instead of falling back. And I guess there's another meeting that's going to be coming up hopefully soon that I hope I'm not so lackluster, I guess, if you will, about meeting it. And that's the one in Matthew 25 about the foolish virgins. And I hope that I can take my family and be accepted into that one. And I just wanted to bring that out there for myself and for anybody else out there that might be in my same position. So,
well, that's the Holy Spirit working, George. We appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, don't feel bad. I listened for many years. Many years, and I called in 3 times, and I think they were all the first year. So that's just how it works, you know. But I agree with you. The wedding feast, now that'll be a very important gathering. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think,
but anyway, I appreciate what you guys are doing, and we enjoy listening to your guys' DVDs. And
I'll tell you, Lord willing, we will have something early June, somewhere in Missouri. So
okay,
we'll let
great.
The remnant know. Keep it in your prayer.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you, George.
Bye.
Got some good calls this morning.
Yeah,
let's see.
Wow.
We got a call from the pits of hell in North Carolina.
Yeah.
We got a call from the swamp. I think the guy was in Virginia.
Dismal swamp.
And then Little Africa in St. Louis.
And humility in Illinois.
Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You know, that is the Holy Spirit just working in George's life, and I can sure remember that in times like that in my life, that, you know, you make it a choice. You make a choice, and sometimes it's not the right choice, or at least it's one that you wish you'd made a better choice. And a little bit, you may not realize it then, but a little time goes on and something comes up, and then you are convicted about it. And that's a good thing. I think that's being in tune with the Holy Spirit. That's, as we hear on the Good News Gospel, having your radio on and hearing when... you know, when that Holy Spirit talks to you, and when it does convict you, and you are to listen to that, and you know, if it softens your heart, if it moves you to do this or that, don't ignore it. Don't ignore it.
Yeah.
Well, we got a few minutes. That poem that was given to me at the Solemn Assembly that pretty much brought everybody to tears, I took the time to send that out to a bunch of people that I care about. And what I said on there is, I hope this has the same effect as it did on me. I pray that your heart hasn't been hardened to a point where you can't mourn and weep. And we got a few minutes. I'm going to go ahead and read that poem. 'Twas 11 days before Christmas, around 9:38, when 20 beautiful children stormed through heaven's gate. Their smiles were contagious. Their laughter filled the air. They could hardly believe all the beauty they saw there. And they filled with such joy, they didn't know what to say. They remembered nothing of what had happened earlier that day. Excuse me. "Where are we?" asked a little girl, as quiet as a mouse. "This is heaven," declared a boy. "We're spending Christmas at God's house. Then what to their wondering eyes did appear but Jesus their Savior, the children gathered near. He looked at them and smiled, and they smiled just the same. Then he opened his arms, and he called them by name. And in that moment was joy that only heaven can bring. Those children all flew into his arms, the arms of their king. And as they lingered in the warmth of his embrace, one small girl turned and looked at Jesus' face. And as if he could read all the questions she had, he gently whispered to her, "I'll take care of Mom and Dad." Then he looked down on the earth, the world far below, and he saw all the hurt, the sorrow, and the woe. Then he closed his eyes, and he outstretched his hand, "Let my power and presence re-enter this land. May this country be delivered from the hands of fools. I'm taking back my nation. I'm taking back my schools." Then he and the children stood up without a sound. "Come now, my children, let me show you around." Excitement filled the space. Some skipped and some ran, all displaying enthusiasm that only a small child can. And I heard him proclaim as he walked out of sight, "In the midst of the darkness, I am still the light."
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, we're about out of time. Guy's called in. If we have just a minute to talk with him. Good morning, Guy. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, man. I'll just close with this. You're doing a good job. And let us rejoice always. I'm glad we got that half-breed up there. And Abraham Lincoln was a lying dog. He betrayed the black people. He betrayed the white boys. And all this stuff is meant to happen. Rejoice always. And, you know, I'm glad that it's happening because our forefathers failed and things went actually as God had seen fit that they be that way. And here we are glorifying him today. Now let us join together, lift up our hands and look to the sky as we on our knees and pray. Lord, have mercy on your sons and daughters as we're marching your way. God, have mercy on us. This President Amen. Obama, he's just another liar. Martin Luther King, we all know what that was. If you serve Baal, he gives you rights. If you serve God, you have the privilege to be a servant of God. And that's manifest in all sorts of things. But these here devils want us to say, "Oh, it's our right. I don't need the Constitution to do anything other than to keep them monkeys in line. They're the ones who got to bury that thing, not me. I have a Constitution, which is the Holy Spirit that dwells in me. I'm governed by the laws of my Father as he reveals his will to me. I'll suffer these people until Christ returns. But then, on that day, they head to where they burn. I know that's true. I know that. There's only a few of us. Amen. But none of these gimmicks that they play or anything. We have to stand back and make sure if they need a Band-Aid, we'll give them one. Other than that, just let them. They have to do what they got to do. The only thing I can fix is breakfast. And I can worship God. And that's my solution. And when somebody comes near me, I'm ready to tell you the truth. Because they're living in Babylon. They speak Babel. They're full of lies. Abraham Lincoln was a fraud. A big ugly one at that.
Amen.
And he was a deceitful bastard. And he said, "Here, I'll give you the 13th Amendment. You can have this. All you got to do, you can keep your slaves." The black people know that in the South. And them Jews or whatever they are up north know that. As long as they got everybody else believing this nonsense. But that's all part of Babylon. Praise the Lord God Almighty. Y'all have a good day and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Guy. And guys, we're out of time. We invite you to church tomorrow. Come to scripturesforamerica.org at 10 o'clock Mountain, 11 Central, and noon on the East Coast. Join us for church, won't you? Thanks for joining us this morning.
Rolling, stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen.
keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake hide.
Yeah.